Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ten point 6. Punas tadvishatvam eva vyanakti pravartate iti pravartate yatra what rajastamostayo, that verse in which there isn't any influence of the mode of passion and ignorance in Vaikuntha. Yatra Vaikunthe rajastamascha na pravartate tayor mishram sahacharam jadam yat satvam tadapi nakintu anyadeva tat cha ya sushtu stapayishyamana maya tak para bhagavat swarupa shaktis tasya vrittitvena chidrupam shuddha satvakyam satvam iti tadiya prakarana eva stapayishyati. 1 minute. Okay, I didn't identify. Okay. Okay, looking at the translation. This nature of Vaikuntha is further revealed by the verse beginning Pravartate. So, in this section, this passage in the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto, we're being given some glimpse of Vaikuntha, but then we will actually see the Supreme Lord. And that's the main point here, is how does the Supreme Lord appear? What kind of appearance does he make in contrast to the appearance of Brahman and Paramatma? Okay, continuing. In that Vaikuntha, the modes of passion and ignorance are not active. Nor is the material mode of goodness, which is mixed with, accompanied by these two. Material goodness is never pure. It's always combined with some influence of passion or ignorance or both. Continuing. Not absent, however, is the other personal energy of the Lord transcending Maya. Her character we are going to demonstrate definitely. Okay, now her is confusing. The personal energy or Maya? So I have to fix that translation. Her character, I think that means the character of the transcendental personal energy of the Lord. We are going to demonstrate later definitively. Now here I didn't identify where, so that I have to add also. Where does the divine energy of the Lord get established or described? That will be later on in this sandarbha. That, continuing, that the mode of goodness called pure goodness is purely spiritual as a function of that other energy of the Lord. That doesn't sound clear. I just want to mark that as not said very clearly. Okay. Well, the mode of goodness is purely spiritual. The Vishuddhisattva is purely spiritual because it's a function of the Lord's internal energy, That's what I meant to say. This will also be demonstrated in the appropriate section. Okay. In the commentary, I should say where. So I'll add a note for that. Okay, so it is implied, this pure goodness does not act there. Well, there means in Vaikuntha. Wait a minute. Pure goodness does not act there. Well, it does act there. It says does, yeah. Okay, sorry. This is confirmed in the Jitam Te Stotra of the Narada Pancharatra, which says, that world, named Vaikuntha, is endowed with six transcendental modes of existence. It is unattainable by Vaishnavas and is free from the three modes of material nature. It is unattainable by non-Vaishnavas. That means non-Vaishnavas can't go there. Okay? Vaikuntha. And it looks like we have six modes in the spiritual world. It doesn't say what they are, but there are six of them. It might be Aishwaryasya and so on. Commentary. Tadrishatvam, being thus. Tadrishatvam is at the beginning of this section. How Vaikuntha is like that. Being thus, here indicates what has been stated in as much of the first verse under consideration as has so far been elucidated. Well, we're on the second verse now. That's a little confusing. We're not still in the first verse. We are on the second verse now. I'm sorry? Where's what? Tadrishatvam. Punas Tadrishatvam eva vinati. Now it is elucidated what is this nature of Vaikuntha. Okay, that Vaikuntha is free from the deficiencies of material existence and is revered by the self-realized. The controlling energies of the material creation, including Maya, time, and the three modes of nature, are absent there. But that does not mean that the spiritual world is formless or without any real substance. There is one transcendental mode of spiritual substance, pure goodness, which exhibits all the varieties of Vaikuntha. But the verse said there were six. So maybe I just don't use the word mode in the verse. The verse. See, because I know it said elsewhere there's only one mode in spiritual world, and that's Rishuddha Sattva. Okay, I noted to change it. Rather than say there's six modes, I'll say there's six something else's. I don't know the context of the verse, and we don't have any explanation of it here. I'll have to look it up. But what is the verse from? Jitam Te Stotra in the Narada Pancharatra, which I wasn't able to get an exact verse reference yet. Because we have a Narada Pancharatra, but it doesn't have a verse index. But the Jitam Te Stotra should be relatively easy to find. Anyone want to take that as an assignment? To find me this verse? The verse number? Okay. Look for the Jitam. First of all, find the Narada Pancharatra upstairs. And look for the Jitam Te Stotra if you can. To inform us more about this Vishuddha Sattva, Srila Jiva will now digress from glossing the verses describing Brahma's Vaikuntha visit. It's not a visit, it's a vision. Okay. vision of Vaikuntha. Okay. Well, okay. We're going to go into a side topic of discussing what is Vishuddhisattva, what's it like. 10.7. Padmotra Kande tu Vaikuntha Nirupane Tasya Sattvasya Aprakritatvam Sputam Evadarshitam Yata Uktam Prakriti Vibhuti Varnan Anantaram Evam Prakrita Rupaya Vibhute Rupam Uttamam Tripad Vibhuti Rupam Tu Shrinu Bhudaranandini Pradana Parama Vyomnor Andare Vidajanadi Vedanga Sveda Janita Toyaik Prasravita Shubha Tasyak Pare Paravyomni Tripad Bhutam Sanatanam Amritam Shashvatam Nityam Anantam Paramam Param Shuddha Sattva Mayam Divyam Anantam Brahmanak Padam. That's the Padma Purana Uttarakhanda, 91st chapter. The description of Vaikuntha in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana explicitly shows, moreover, that this mode of goodness is transcendental to material nature. After discussing the opulences of material nature, there is the passage, a passage which begins. Translation, such is the exalted manifestation of the opulences of the material nature. Now, O darling daughter of the mountain. Who's talking to whom here? Shiva Parvati, okay. Hear about the opulence of the three quarters realm. Between the primeval material nature and the transcendental sky lies the river Viraja. That fair river flows with water born from the perspiration of the Vedic supplements. Beyond its far shore, in the spiritual sky, is the eternal supreme abode, the three quarters of existence. Undying, unchanging, perpetual, and unlimited, it is comprised of the pure mode of goodness. It is the effulgent, boundless home of the Supreme Truth. Okay. The spiritual sky is the home of the Supreme Truth. Commentary. This is... we're trying to elucidate what is Vishuddhisattva. So Vishuddhisattva is what Vaikuntha is made out of. Impersonalist commentary. Impersonalists cannot properly discriminate between the superior and inferior natures of the Supreme. To them, that's the impersonalists, all manifest energies are only illusion, not real properties of Brahman. One illusion may be relatively subtler than another, but only the formless one is absolutely real. Parabrahman's own opinion, however, is otherwise. Bhumirapodalovayu kammano buddhir evacha ahamkara itiyame Binna Prakritir Ashtada, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Apareyam itas tvanyam, prakritim vidhi me param,
Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yaidam Dharyate Jagat.
Beside these, O mighty-armed Arjun, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Well, he's identifying a higher energy, but he's equating it with the jiva. The jiva is not a material energy, according to Krishna's opinion. The material energies are, in a sense, illusory because they're not what they seem to be. They seem to combine into real things that are actually temporary and are just imitations of the reality. But the jiva is real. He is what he seems to be. His form is real, and he's a small part of the Supreme Spirit. That spiritual energy is real, according to Krishna's own opinion. He calls it para prakriti. He doesn't consider all prakriti to be equally illusory. There is illusory prakriti, and there is real prakriti, the para prakriti. Continuing, as Lord Krishna thus declares, both spirit and matter are based on energies which belong to him and are real. Well, actually, the material energy is also real. It's my energy. It's just illusory because it creates illusions for you. But the energy itself is, even the material energy is real. In the Uttarakhanda, the final and most themistic division of the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva explains the Supreme Lord's two prakritis to his wife Parvati, the daughter of the Himavan mountain, and she is one of those prakritis. He locates the spiritual nature in a specific domain beyond the Viraja River. So he puts it in a place. The Viraja River, which is the outer border of the material universes. This domain is the Vaikuntha sky. The domain that's beyond the Viraja River is the Vaikuntha sky with its innumerable spiritual planets. The Viraja consists of transcendental water whose source is the perspiration of the supplements to the Vedas. I guess the Vedas themselves don't sweat. But, and is the same as the dark pocket of the spiritual sky, the causal ocean. It's the same thing as the causal ocean, from which the material creation emanates, but appears as a river when viewed from within the creation as its surrounding envelope. Material creation begins from its first element, sound, and tracing creation back one step further to its spiritual origin, it can be identified as evolving from the Vedic sound. Lord Shiva, following the Upanishadic metaphor, also calls the spiritual nature the opulence of the three quarters. That terminology comes from the Upanishads. According to the geometric model that images the created world as one finite quadrant. Quadrant has an A, not an E. Boy. Okay. Which images the geometric model, which images the created world as one finite quadrant of the infinite bidimensional field of all existence, in which the spiritual part extends without limit in the three remaining quadrants. Of course, spiritual existence has more than two dimensions. Even the material existence has three spatial dimensions. And other universes may have more. When Brahma has more heads, that means there's more dimensions. 1,000 heads means 1,000 dimensions. Because he got four heads by looking in the three directions. Because when you have a three-dimensional space, then you get four ways to look. But this is a two-dimensional image model, or flat. If it wasn't flat, if it was actual space, then you would have more than four quadrants. You'd have how many you get when you have a three-dimensional space? Eight. You'd have eight corners, eight quadrants. No, they wouldn't be quadrants, they'd octadrons or whatever. Eight pieces of space. But we're talking here, just for the sake of keeping it simple, we're talking in two-dimensional terms, in which you take a piece of paper and draw two lines, that divides it up into four quadrants. And you can do, you know, what you call analytic algebra. You can draw pictures of algebraic formulas. This is called Cartesian space. René Descartes made up this methodology of making a picture of numbers. And you can have, anyway, you have two variables, you can have two dimensions. And the space gets divided into four pieces. But don't think that the material world is 25% as big as the spiritual world. It's actually a tiny, like if you had an infinite piece of paper and one corner in one end. Now, one corner was a small quadrant, and the other three quadrants went on forever. That would be more like the actual situation. One finite quadrant, you know, you just mark off an infinite piece of paper, but you have the corner right here. Mark off a small corner, and then the other three parts go on forever. You want to draw it? Well, yeah.
This is in the material world.
Yeah. Material world, and then? Well, okay, but actually put it in the corner. Actually draw a piece of paper. Erase that, and start down at the bottom left-hand corner, and draw a picture of an infinite piece of paper that starts in the bottom left-hand corner. Just let it go on forever off the sides there.
So this is a piece of paper?
No, infinite. Just draw the line right off the board. Yeah, and then do it the other way too. Okay, now. Well, actually, when we're doing two-dimensional space, we let the line go down also.
Yes.
Yeah. Just continue in blue. Down and also all the way to the left side. Okay, now you got a little tiny corner there in the left bottom. That's the material world. And the spiritual world is everything that goes on forever on the other three sides. Okay? It goes beyond the board. The board, you know, just we don't have any more space to draw, but it goes on forever. Yes? Sorry, Gepo. Is that a question?
But isn't it that they said that all there are unlimited quantity of material universes?
I don't think so. Anyway, this is maybe this should be sent as a question. I'll answer it, but this is getting a little bit off track. My understanding, no, there's a lot of universes, but the number is finite, and each one of them is a finite size, big but finite. Does Prabhupada say otherwise, that the material creation is infinite? I don't think so, but you can prove me. You know, if I'm wrong, then where does Prabhupada say that is the material existence is infinite? On countless universes, that just means that we don't have the power to count very high. Countless means more than we can count. As far as I understand, it's big but finite. Okay. Anyway, this is just talking about one little statement in the, you know, one phrase in the Uttarakhanda, calling it the tripad bhutam. It's the three quarters part, the spiritual world. Let's look at 10.8. Prakrita gunanam paraspara avyabhicharitvam tuktam sankhya kaumudyam. The Sankhya Kaumudi definitely states that the modes of material nature never fail to accompany one another. Avyabhichari means that they're never not accompanied by the others. Wherever you have any of the three modes, you're always going to have some of the others. Just like you have what's supposed to be filtered water, it's got some contaminations in it. You buy a package of spaghetti, it's got little pieces of insects in it. Maybe one part of it out of a million. If you buy it from Italy, it has a larger amount of insect parts. But you can't avoid it altogether. There's always some contamination in everything material. And whenever you have any of the three modes, you're going to have some, a little bit of the other ones also. Okay, that's stated in the Sankhya Kaumudi. What's the Sankhya Kaumudi? Well, Sankhya philosophy, we're talking about the atheistic Sankhya philosophy. They're founded by who? Which rishi? Not the Kapila who's son of Devahuti, but the Kapila who's born in the dynasty of the fire god Agni. His original sutras are lost. We have in the library the Sankhya Sutras, but they're a forgery. They were probably written in the 18th century AD. We don't have the original Sankhya Sutras. What we have, the oldest book we have from the Sankhya school, was written in the 1st century AD. It's a commentary on the philosophy. It was written by somebody called Ishvara Krishna. And the name of the book is Sankhya Kaumudi. It's the oldest existing book on the Sankhya on the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, which is a strange philosophy. In their philosophy, there's Prakriti and Purusha, but all activity is done by Prakriti. The Purusha doesn't do anything at all. He's completely inactive, but he's conscious. And Prakriti does all the activity, but she's unconscious. That's the beginning of their philosophy, and it gets stranger. I haven't studied it in depth. It's just so strange, I don't even bother with it. Anyway, in the Sankhya Kaumudi, Anyonya Mituna Vritayaha is a short statement. The Sankhya Kaumudi definitely states that the modes of material nature never fail to accompany one another. The statement is, their action always involves mutual combination. That's Sankhya Kaumudi. Anyway, some verse. Don't seem to have a reference for it. I have a number, but no reference. I'm reading point 8. And there's no, I don't have a verse reference yet. Tattikayam cha. And in the commentary on the Sankhya Kaumudi, I think we have the commentary in the edition that we have, or some commentary. Anyonya sahachara avinir bhaga vartina itiyavat bhavati chaturagamaha anyonya mituna sarve sarve sarv avatragaminaha Vajaso mitunam satvam ityad upakramya naisham adischa samyogo viyogo vopalabhyate iti. So that was a long quote from the commentary by somebody on the Sankhya Kaumudi, and it quoted some agama. There was a verse and a half quoted from an unidentified agama. What's an agama? There are agamas and nigamas. Nigamas and agamas. What are those two different things? Yeah?
Yagama Savedas itself and Agamas, the instructions like spirit, what should we do, how we should follow.
What is the Nigama?
Vedas.
Nigama is the original Vedas. And the Agama are the supplementary books that are usually called tantras. The difference, what's special about tantras, is that they can be studied by people who are not allowed to study the Vedas. Therefore, persons outside the scope of Vedic, they're not Vedic Brahmins, or they're not twice born, but they can study tantras. We know about tamasic tantras, tantras of the mode of ignorance, and the tantrics are practicing black magic. But that's not the only kind of tantra. There's tantra in each of the modes and mixed modes. The sattvic tantras are the pancharatras. There are also some relatively sattvic Shaiva tantras also, but the Vaishnava tantras in goodness are the pancharatras. So that's agama. Very often agama, when the Vaishnavas are talking, they mean pancharatra. Okay, so now you know what an agama is. Krishna, in describing deity worship to Uddhava in the 27th chapter of the 11th canto, says that the deity himself can be worshipped by Vedic means, by tantric means, or a combination of both. Tantric means we're worshipping Vishnu, so you should worship him not by Shaiva tantra, but by Vaishnav tantra, by the Pancharatras. You can worship Vishnu in purely Vedic form, following instructions directly from the Vedas and the Upanishads, or you can worship him following instructions from the Pancharatras, which is much more common nowadays. There's one small school of Sri Vaishnavas, the Vaikanasas. You can find them in one place in South India. Anybody know where? The Vaikanasas? Okay, we're in Northern Shinkadevi's worship in Andhra Pradesh. Okay, several places. But the Vaikanasa is actually a Vedic text that's connected directly. It's Shruti. And so they're worshipping their deities following Shruti instructions. It's a very archaic, old school. The remnant of that is found among the Sri Vaishnavas. But most of the Sri Vaishnavas and others, and including ourselves, we worship the deity following instructions from the Pancharatras and from Vaishnav Smritis written by later authors like Sanatana Goswami and so on. Yes, Bharat Rampur.
You got to hear something about these Vaikanasas. They are like, although they were Sri Vaishnava kind of tilak, but they are founded by, much before even Ramanuja, they are founded by this Vaikanasa.
Yes.
Sage. And as you say, they are archaic, like they are followers of Shruti. But I don't know whether it's a later development, but they are saying nowadays that also anyone can be a Vaikanasa. It just depends on the Garbhadhana Samskara.
You can become born into the group.
Yeah, they can take anyone and they can make the couple undergo the Garbhadhana Samskara of the Vaikanasas. And then the son that will be born to them will be accepted as a Vaikanasa.
What's the benefit of becoming a Vaikanasa?
One thing is, like, when a Vaikanasa is born, then the signs of the Shankha and Chakra are visible on the body of the Vaikanasa, on the body of the child.
I see.
Just like that. And then they disappear when he grows. But when he's born, the father can see the Chakra and like that.
Oh, okay.
Also in Tirupati, those who are worshipping are Vaikanasas, right? The priests, the...
In Tirupati.
They are not the regular Shrivas, they are the Vaikanasas.
But the Vaikanasas follow Ramanuja, right?
Well, in Tirupati, the system of worship is the Madhva system of worship, but they are the ones who are worshipping are the Vaikanasas, but the whole system of worship is established by Vyasa Tirtha.
Okay. Thank you. If you're born a Vaikanasa, you don't need Diksha. Okay. Before you're born. Okay.
Digarbhadana samskara.
Yeah, that shows that you've already gotten the. That's part of the diksha.
The Garbhadana Samskara is very vigorous. It's very. They did that recently to even a Westerner, and he was ready to undergo the austerities, but it was a very vigorous thing.
Okay, not easy. Anyway, I mean, I don't know if anybody here would want to do that. Okay. But did you have something? No. Okay. All right, we move on. Okay, I have to read the translation of the commentary. The commentary on that one short statement from the Samkhya Komati that said, their action always involves mutual combination. Of course, their means the modes of material nature. The commentary on this passage says, they always accompany one another, since none of them ever functions separately from the others. There is a statement from devotional scripture in this regard, beginning, I translated Agama as devotional scripture. It's devotion to somebody. I don't know which Agama it is. Each of the modes is always combined with the others. Each is found everywhere. Goodness is mixed with passion, and so on. And then that section continues. We skip to further on in that quote from the Agama. Quote, these modes have no beginning. There is no event seen of their coming into contact or of their separating. Well, there is a beginning of creation, but none of us have seen it. We read about the beginning of creation, but we don't remember seeing it. So we can say nobody has seen the beginning of the modes. Okay, now, going back to the Sanskrit. Tasmad atra vajaso sadbhavad asrijatvam tamaso sadbhavad anashyatvam. I wonder whether that should be a surety. No, it's just causative. Causative passive. Anashyatvam, it isn't to be destroyed. Prakriti sattva bhava cha satyadananda rupatvam tasya darshitam. Thus, in our context, what context? We're talking about Vaikuntha and Vishuddha sattva. In our context, we see that, I put in brackets, Vaikuntha is not created because there's no mode of passion there. If you want to create something materially, you need a mode of passion. And it is not subject to destruction because there is no mode of ignorance. And it is a manifestation of eternity, knowledge, and bliss because it lacks the material mode of goodness. That's Vaikuntha for you. Okay. Now, commentary. Commentary on this. There are six standard Indian philosophies which pay at least lip service to the authority of the Vedas. All these schools are perennial, since they represent natural patterns of thought. Perennial means they're always there. We may have history of who wrote which sutra, but in previous ages, someone else wrote the sutras. It's always, you know, those ideas always come up in every age. In each cycle of ages, however, new sages appear to reformulate them. I'm missing a few letters here. Reformulate them by writing sutras. Concise foundational texts. It is traditionally recognized that around the beginning of the current age, 5,000 years ago, Bhadarayana Vyas compiled the sutras for the Vedanta school. We can say that because Vyasadeva appeared almost at the very end of Dwarpa Yuga. We know that. So that must be, he wasn't around before that, so that must be about the time he wrote the Vedanta Sutra. He wrote the Bhavatam afterwards. And that was just shortly after Krishna's disappearance. So it must have been sometime near the very end of Dwarpa Yuga that Vyasadeva compiled the sutras for the Vedanta school. Jaimini for the Mimamsa, Gotama for Nyaya, Kannada for Vaisheshika, and Patanjali for Yoga. That's all six. These texts, no, it's not all six. I didn't mention Sankhya.
What about Sankhya? Oh, no, okay. Sankhya comes up. I mentioned five of them so far. These texts are still available and are presumed by their students in the traditional line to be the authentic originals. I'm not coming out and saying, yes, they are, but every the proponents of each of the schools presume that they're original. The history of the remaining school, Sankhya, is more murky. Most modern scholars, for one thing, are convinced that what purports nowadays to be the Sankhya Sutras of Kapila Muni are a recent composition, probably dating from the 18th century AD. And those who accept the authority of the Puranas understand that there are two opposing schools contending for the title of Sankhya. One of them in accordance with the Vaishnava teachings of the Bhagavatam, and the other atheistic. The Puranas tell of two different sages called Kapila, one an avatar of Vishnu, the other born among the descendants of Agni. This is a quote we don't know. It may be Prabhupada Purana. I don't have a reference for it. But anyway, here's the line, the verse. Kapilo vasudevamshas tatvam sankhyam jagadaha pramadibhyascha devebhyo brigvadibhyascha taivacha tataivasudaye sarva vedartair upabrimhitam sarva veda virudham cha kapilonyo jagadaha sankhyam asudaye nyasmai putarka bari brimhitam. Translation: Kapila, the partial expansion of Lord Vasudev, spoke the science of Sankhya, replete with the teachings of the Vedas, to Brahma and other demigods, to Bhrigu and other sages, and to the Brahman Asuri. Well, it doesn't mention Devahuti. This must be a different Kapila in a different age. It doesn't even mention speaking Sankhya philosophy to his mother. But there is mention of Asuri Brahmana in the seventh chapter of, no, the third chapter of the second canto. Shashname Kapilo Nama Sidesha Kalaviplava Plutam Pravoch Asuriye Sankhyam Tatva Grama Vinirnayam. The sixth incarnation in the list given in the third chapter of the second canto. The third canto, chapter of the first canto, spoken by Sutta, names Kapila. He's the lord of all the perfected beings, and he spoke Sankhya philosophy, which clarifies the elements of creation. He spoke it to Asuri. So that he's mentioned, and he's also mentioned in this other Puranic quote. Then, continuing, another Kapila spoke a different Sankhya, contrary to all the Vedic scriptures and full of false reasoning, to another person named Asuri. Okay, another Kapila speaking to another Asuri. Continuing the commentary, Vaishnavas receive Sankhya philosophy from the account of Lord Kapila's instructions to his mother Devahuti in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3. The oldest extant text of the atheistic Sankhya is not the currently known Sankhya Sutra. Sutras, let's make it sutras. But, let me check if I have it. Yeah, Sankhya Sutras, but a text of the first century AD, the Sankhya Karaka of Ishvara Krishna, which Srila Jiva Goswami here cites. This is the quote coming from the Sankhya Komudi. Sankhya Karika. But we're calling it Sankhya Komudi. Uh-oh. Okay, maybe we're not talking about the same book. Okay. I may have made a mistake, but we'll have to check it. Made a note, okay. Of course, Vaishnavas prefer to hear from the son of Devahuti than from an imposter. But even If even atheists confirm points our author wants to make, all the more the better. Because we find in our book verification of what we want to believe. Someone could say that that's just your sectarian bias. But if we get our opponents agreeing to the same idea, that's even a stronger argument. Continuing, the material world is constantly undergoing change. And this change is only possible by the dynamic interchanges of balance among the three modes of nature. Things can remain stable as long as the mode of goodness is predominant. Okay, to stay the same, you have to be in the mode of goodness. When the passion is prominent, there is transformation. And when ignorance is prominent, there is destruction. The initial appearance of change in the universal creation could only occur after Lord Mahavishnu glanced at Prakriti and could only proceed past the evolution of the basic elements to their combination in manifest forms when he again entered in person within the elements and executed the process of prapancha, redistributing a fraction of each of the five physical elements among the other four. The material world is the combination of the natural elements in flux, while in the eternal spiritual world there is only one element. And thus, despite transcendental variety, there is no substantial change there. There's no competition of modes. There's no passion, no ignorance, so there's no creation and destruction. Everything's eternal in the spiritual world, manifested by Vishuddha Sattva. Variety, but still, the substance is always the same. Thus, the spiritual kingdom, in contrast to the corrupt state of material existence, is always perfect. Even when material goodness is relatively unmixed, or even if it could hypothetically be altogether so, it remains inferior. Even if material goodness could be unmixed, it's still inferior. A man influenced primarily by the mode of sattva tends to be infatuated with his knowledge and satisfaction. He cannot easily rise above them to achieve selfless devotion to the Supreme Lord. The goodness that maintains material things for some duration, not forever, for some duration, the passion that transforms them, and the ignorance that ruins them, I'm going to say changes them, that changes them, just for variety. The passion that changes them and the ignorance that ruins them are energies of the Lord. They originate in and belong to material nature, but she originates and belongs to him. Ultimately, everything emanates from him by the agency of the three modes of spiritual nature. Which reflect in their material counterparts. Now we got three modes of spiritual nature. And we had six. Three primary energies. How's that? Three primary energies of spiritual nature, which reflect in their material counterparts. These three functions of Vishuddha Sattva are the Lord's Samvit potency of consciousness, his Ladini potency of pleasure, and his Sandini potency of manifestation and expansion. Okay, that's as far as we'll go today. Anyway, we haven't said much yet about what the spiritual nature is, but we're distinguishing it from the material nature. It doesn't change, it doesn't get destroyed as the material manifestations do. And material elements or material modes are always mixed up. They're never 100% pure. But Vishuddha Sattva is always completely just Vishuddha Sattva and nothing else.
And all the variety of the spiritual world is manifested by Vishuddha Sattva. It is the energy of the Lord acting in His service. And that Vishuddha Sattva can be divided into the three primary energies. Samvit, because consciousness is one thing. Physical existence is another. Physical spiritual existence. And the experience of pleasure is another thing. You might say that pleasure is just a special kind of consciousness. Yes. Ananda is just another kind of, a special kind of awareness. But it's so special, it deserves to be put in a separate category. So we have three primary categories of the spiritual energies. And it's said that the material modes are perverted reflections of those original three energies. Okay, so we'll stop here. Let me just quickly check that I didn't ignore some questions that were sent for me today. No. 17th. No, there's nothing here. No questions. Please send your questions. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai. Kavya class is at 11 o'clock.